All right, we'll just begin with our opening prayer. Father Almighty, I thank you for this time that we have where we can look at your word. We can study from your word. But not only that we can learn from your word and grow deeper with you. We ask that you teach us today, that you show us what it is that we need to know, that you provide for us the understanding and you provide for us the depth of where it is you want us to go. We thank you for your word and we thank you for the Spirit that guides everything and teaches us. We pray all this through your Son, Jesus. Amen. So our message that we're going to be having is, who is Jesus? And as I talk to the kids, we look at Jesus and we know of Jesus, but do we really know him? And sometimes I feel funny because I feel like I'm talking to the choir. All right, because, yeah, but, you know, maybe there's something that will connect. Maybe there'll be something that will be just a little bit, give you some insight, maybe to look at this maybe from a different perspective and to start to see Jesus for more than what you just know. I know this, that when we talk to people and it's like, oh, yeah, you know, I used to go to church. I don't go to church anymore. And they don't read their Bible. They don't really go out and everything. And so what they remember about Jesus is what they learned when they were 6, 7 years old. And that's as far as it's gone. You know? But our walk with God is like our walk with God. Our lives are with him. And we need to be walking with him and growing with him all the time. But it's really hard to do that if we're not inviting him in or even just understanding who he is in the first part. So what I want to do is we're going to call this part one. I have no idea how many parts there's going to be into this, but there's a scripture verse in Colossians that we're going to be concentrating on. I'm not going to start with that verse, but we're going to start with a verse in Amos here. And just a clicker here. All right, we're going to start into this verse with Amos. And I like this verse because it says this. It says in Amos 4:12, therefore, this is what I will do to you, Israel. And because I will do this to you, Israel, prepare to meet your God. Now, I think this is kind of neat. And I love the way God works all the way through. Because Tom read a scripture in John chapter 1. And he mentioned your God. How many times did you mention that in that scripture? Like, there you go. And it's like, I love that synergy or the idea where things come connected. And what I'm looking at here is that God says, I am your God. Meet me. But the thing is, when you start reading about Amos and his prophetic message, it's not a very nice one. Because Israel refuses to meet God. And God says, even in your refusal, I am going to meet you. Prepare yourself. So my thought is, we need to know who God is, that when we meet him, it's not like, who? What? It's not like, wait a minute, let me go back to that, you know, text or something and see if I can find out who you are. Do some internet search and find out who God is. No, you're going to meet God, maker, creator. And it's like we really need to know who he is. And this scripture verse here, it's really sad because the Israelites continue to reject God in his ways. They'll do all the offerings, they'll do all the traditional ceremonies and the celebrations and stuff like that. But God says, it's distasteful in my eyes. Because not only are you doing the things that I call upon you to do in the form of worship, but you're also worshiping idols, Baal, Asherah, Molech, all these other gods that are no gods at all, and yet you're worshiping those just as the pagans do. So that basically, they have no idea who God is. And you think about this too, because when Jesus finally came as the Messiah, as Camden was saying, he's the Messiah, it's as simple as that. I was like, it really is, in terms of who he is. And if you know who the Messiah is, But did the Jewish leaders recognize Jesus as God? No. How could they miss that whole point? They were teachers of Scripture, right? They understood Scripture. They had law after law in order to keep Scripture. But it's like they didn't know. They didn't know their God when God was face to face with them. So the thought is, you need to know who Jesus is. And we're going to be looking at that here. So in John 4:24, it says, God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. Well, if God is spirit, then obviously we do need to worship in spirit, because that's who he is. Sometimes we just do it in the physical. You know, our presence in church, that's enough. I came to church Sunday, that's once a week, I'm good. Or you can even say, well, I've given my tithes and stuff like that. I'm well taken care of now. God could care less about your tithes. He doesn't need your tithes. He doesn't need, you know, just your petty ideas of what it means to be God. He wants you. He really does, in a very deep and assured way. So we're going to go to Colossians 1, and we're going to read this. There's two screens on there, so that's why it's going to take more than one message to do this. In fact, we're just going to be covering a very first part of this. In Colossians 1, chapter 15 through 23, says, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, Visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death, to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. So we look at this and we see, you know, the importance the role that Jesus plays. And we realize that he is everything. Without Jesus, who is God, nothing would exist. Things were done through him and for him. And we look at that and we always say in our society, well, what about me? What do I get out of this? He gets everything? That's not fair. I have rights. You know, we have that attitude all the time. And, you know, whether you're young, old, whatever, we always seem to have that stuff because there's that part of us, that fleshly part, the part that says, me, 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 want, I, you know, all that stuff. And it's hard to get over some of that because we're you know, we see that all the time in our culture and advertisements. And sometimes, you know, in the job, we look at our neighbors and they're doing better than us. And it's like, well, you know, I don't know. Yeah, it's true. And let's just look at who Jesus is point blankly. And so what we want to do, we're going to go to John chapter 1. Oops. Before I get to there, we're basically going to be looking at the first sentence and just the first sentence of all of that Colossians stuff. And it says, the Son is the image of the invisible God. That's what I want to concentrate on now. And then a little bit later, we're going to get to the first part, the firstborn over all creation. So in John 1:5, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life. And that life was a light of all mankind. The light shines over in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Now this is good scripture. This is really good scripture. And we look at the Apostle John writing this and wondering, where is he coming from? You know, and I'm sure he's touched by the movements of what Jesus was doing and all the miracles. Like one of the kids was saying, he was a miracle maker. And he was. He healed people. I mean, and he touched people. And he had such an understanding of scripture, and he had such an understanding of people. Why? Well, because he's God, for one. He created us all, and so he knows us all, and which is really kind of good. But it's important to know that the word represented here, capital W, represents Christ, Jesus. So in this scripture here, it says that the word is who? God. You know, not all religions believe that. The Jehovah Witnesses, their scripture says, and the word was a God, lowercase g. I'm like, okay, if Jesus was a God, how many other gods are out there? And it changes all of scripture. But the problem is that there's other scripture that speaks about Jesus as being God and one with God. And it's like, you can't take one little scripture verse and then make a whole religion over that to please you or your, you know, the followers that you've got, whatever it is that you want to be able to preach. So theirs is the only one that says that, and it really frustrates me that, you know, that's what they're taught. And they don't question that, because their structure of their religion is that you don't challenge the authorities that are there. Well, you need to. You need to understand Scripture. And that's why we use Scripture so much here. And it says that he is the Word of God. And in all of this, that things were made, you know, through him. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. Everything in creation has been made by God. And we look at him as that invisible God. So it's like, it's really hard to understand us to be able to do that. So we look at this section over here, and we go to Matthew. And this is what they call the transfiguration time, where Jesus took Peter, James, and John, right? I don't even know where that came from. All right, and then Jesus led them up on the high mountain by themselves, in Matthew 17, 1 through 3, and he says, there he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah, and talking with Jesus. And I think about this, that the glory of Jesus is just starting to shine through, and how important that is to be able to realize that what we're seeing is a representation of God through Jesus, a physical form of him. And if Jesus started to show himself for who he really is, can you imagine that this is this face just shining, and everything that he touches in terms of his clothing just becoming so bright, that it's so intense that you can't even look upon it. And we look at that aspect over there, is that we have Jesus to be able to help us to know who the Father is, right? And so he comes in that physical form to be able to be human and to experience all the things that we do, and yet he is fully God while he's here on this earth. I don't even think the disciples understood all of that, because they were more concerned about making some shelters, you know, for the three of them. You know, it's like, I don't think God needs a shelter, right? And, you know, Elijah and Moses, who, you know, past individuals that God had really called upon and to do stuff. And here they are now, which is really weird, even before the crucifixion. And sometimes it's a hard thing to understand. Well, how could they be alive when they're dead? And so for the disciples to be able to take that into play and to process that information. It's sometimes hard to be able to do that. But even Jesus, I'm sure he has to tone things down, because we are not really bright individuals. Right? We tend to get misconceptions all the time. And Jesus says it's the working with us. And I still think about this time is that Jesus comes to this world. God comes to this world. And he comes as a baby. And he lives for 33 some years. And he's working with us all those years. And he knows the purity of God and who he is. And to look at God and look at us. Look at God and look at us. And I'm thinking, no comparison. But you've got to remember that Jesus is the creator of all things. Jesus created you for his glory, for his purpose, not for our own. And we have to understand that and to know it. And when Jesus could bring those three individuals, the close inner circle of his disciples and stuff, and be able to show them a little bit more of who he is, it's pretty special to be able to do that. And I think Jesus wants to show himself to you all the time. Are you receptive to be able to bring that in and to allow that and to see what Jesus has for us, and instead of having our own perceptions of what the world would be? We look at this here and go back a little bit of Old Testament here. In Exodus chapter 33, verses 11, it says the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. Then Moses would turn to the camp. But his young age, Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. Joshua actually ends up taking over leadership of the Israelites as they go into the promised land. But think about the relationship that God had with Moses. One-to-one talking. If Moses could do that, and God revealed himself in that talk, because it's not like a text. You know how that text comes out and you have no idea what emotion is behind that text? Some words are like capitalized and it's like, well, they're yelling at me now. You take that impression. But you might misinterpret that. But God is speaking with Moses and listening to the intonation of his voice. And he could feel the presence of God while God's speaking to him. Just as you're with me and stuff like that. You can see my movements. You can see my facial expressions. We look at that. But then in verse 20 it says, but he said, God, you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live. And I always thought that was kind of like a harsh thing to say. Well, why can't we see God? Well, maybe his glory is too pure for us to handle. Just as Jesus was beginning to show the brightness of who he is, and I'm sure, they didn't have those polarized sunglasses back when, they were up on that transformation mountain. Flip those things right out, or, get your cell phone camera that can, minimize the bright light, because I love taking pictures of the sun, and you can't do it with your naked eyes, but you can take a picture of it with your camera, and that's pretty cool to be able to do that. In this case here, it says we can't see the face of God. And there's instances where people want to know who God is and be able to see him. And there's times where God passes by certain individuals, and they get to experience the power of God. And sometimes that can be overwhelming. Well, let's look at the scripture here. Jesus, near the end of his ministry, is talking to the disciples, and he's telling them that I'm going to be leaving you. Now, again, Jesus had been ministering for these 3 years with these 12 disciples, and they become closely bonded. And the closeness, you would think that they would know exactly who Jesus is, without a drop or, without a failing of that at all. But in reality, they had sometimes no clue, because they were taught certain things about who the Messiah was. And to have those things rearranged in your brain, it takes time. It takes effort to be able to find out who the real Messiah is. So they get to this part, and Jesus is trying to warn them and to let them know that don't worry about it, I'll going to be sending someone. But in this point here, in John 14, 8 through 10, it says, Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. And I like that comment. You know, we can see you, Jesus. But show us the Father. Because the Father is, you know, the authority of all things. I always like to think that in the way that this works is like with that the Trinity, and this is in my mind, so this is a Mikeism sort of thing, is that God, the Father, is the architect of all things. Jesus, the Son of God, is the one that creates all the stuff. And God, the Holy Spirit, is the one that just gives life and meaning to everything that's in there. So they all work together, that goes along with it. But we look at that, and that's why we call Jesus the Word, you know, because, you know, the creation was spoken, and it was just, it wasn't like God had to go through with his workshop and, you know, build something. He just spoke it. And things were created. So this is Jesus' answer to that question. Why can't we just see the Father? Because if we can get to the heart of things, that would be so neat. And to be able to get to the root and to the depth of who God is. And then Jesus answered, very simply, don't you know me, Philip? Because we're looking at the whole statement that we've got is, who is Jesus? And God comes back and says, don't you know who I am? We've been together for how long? Haven't you seen the things that I've been doing? And he says, even after I've been with you for such a long time, at what point do you get to know somebody? Hope and I are going to be married 39 years, right? In November? No, yeah, it is. Yeah, it's one of those, yeah, it could be taken as a question or a fact, you know, you decide. But it's like, wait a minute, what was that, Beth?
I didn't tell you.
I'm getting to know who you are, I'll tell you that. Yeah. No, but it's like, you know, you find something out about your partner in life, your spouse. Every day there's some things that are just different. And you're finding out who they are, and they're finding out who you are. And it's a lifelong thing. I haven't been completely able to finish all of her sentences. In fact, she tells me not to do that. And I'm thinking, I don't know why. Because I know what she's going to say, but then she says something different. So it's like, why'd she change? Anyway, the idea is that if you've been with somebody for a long time, you should just know who they are. And I know that, like, when I've been working on the farm, you know, we had, like, I think it was like 80-some cows on my brother-in-law's farm. And I worked there for a couple of years. And I knew every cow. I knew the cow, they just had numbers on them, right? So we knew the number by the neck chain and stuff like that. But I could look out in the pasture, and I could name all those cows, right? And we're going in the morning and stuff like that, and it's, you know, it's kind of still dark out and all, and the grass is really wet and everything. And as the cows are coming in, you know, I know there's certain cows that I had to go get because they were, like, lazy. They didn't want to get up. So you go over there and you kind of get them bumped up and everything. And I could tell the cow just by their gait, you know, how they walked. And you can tell, you know, certain ones will do a lot of bellowing and other ones won't. Some cows are like mother cows that as soon as the one cow had a calf, this other cow came over and she's got to lick that calf. You know, it's not even hers. But she just has that uniqueness about it. And then there was like cow number 23 is a big white Holstein there and her, you know, pigeon toe, or what do you call it? Duck feet? Yeah, her feet just went out like that. She was a good milker and everything, but it's like, it's just certain characteristics you know about these animals because you're working with them all the time. And that's what Jesus is saying to Philip. Don't you know me? How is it that you can go all these years and not know who I am? So Jesus has to explain. And he goes in this aspect right over here. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Now remember, the Father is Spirit. Because it talks about the visible and the, you know, the invisible God. We like to see the visible part. And what we're seeing, the visible part, is Jesus. And Jesus is that representation of the Father. He says, how can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Everything that Jesus did, he did because the Father told him to do those things. Jesus responded to everybody because that's what the Father told him to do. That if you want to see the character of God the Father, we get to look at Jesus because he was living with us for 3 years. We've got scripture that talks about who he is. And it's an amazing thing. How is it that the disciples didn't get that connection? Who lived with Jesus for all those years? Well, we can say the same thing. How is it that people here in church don't get that connection and they've been coming to church for years? Jesus wants your relationship with him to grow. Be able to see more and more in depth in where he is. He wants you to know who he is. And I think that's just really, really important to be able to do that. So in that first part, when we're looking at the scripture verse that we've got here, let me just go. The Son is the image of the invisible God. So if you want to know who God the Father is, who do you have to look to? Jesus. Who helps you be able to do that? The Holy Spirit. All right? And we've got his word to be able to come along and be able to do this. And then what I want to do now is look at the firstborn over all creation. And I don't have a lot about this in the sense that I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, I guess. But I just want to make that point because he puts that right in there in terms of that the Son of God is the image of the invisible God. And then he says that he is the firstborn over all creation. Now, again, there are some religions that take this and say, well, if he's the firstborn, then he was obviously created by God. And it's like, that's not really true. Because we look at the firstborn as, you know, Hope and I, you know, we've got three children. Emily was our firstborn. But in the Jewish culture, our real firstborn would be Ryan, our first son. And the firstborn has certain aspects in their life in terms of culture is that when the father dies, when I would die, then all of what I have acquired and stuff would be divvied up between our sons. We got two sons. So because Ryan is the firstborn of the sons, he would get what they call a double portion. Right? So that means that Ryan would get two-thirds of all of our stuff and Tim would get one-third. Poor Emily in that culture didn't get anything. You know. Jim, tell them not to call you. I know. Yeah, just that's fine, Jim. I don't care. And so we look at that the culture, but if there was six boys in the family, everybody would get an equal portion, but the firstborn would get a double portion. So it's almost like there were seven sons that were getting an inheritance that goes with that. You know, and that's just the way that that culture was set up. This is not speaking of that firstborn aspect. That Jesus is the firstborn, you know, of God, if you want to call it that. It's talking about more about the ministry that Jesus did. Because we're going to look at a scripture verse here. And you're going to see in Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, it says, Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, right? He's the first to be raised, to be resurrected from the dead, to have that new life. He's the very first to be able to do that. Well, why can't we do that? Why couldn't we do that? Well, because of our sin or separation that we have from God. Remember, Jesus Christ died for our sins. He took those sins and bore those sins on the cross. He had no sin of his own. And yet, he took our sin, he died, and God brought him to life. Never to die again. in that, you know, that physical form. So we look at that, and he says he's ruler of the kings of the earth to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood. Yeah, that's what that means in the firstborn. He's the first to have that resurrection. What's that, Jackie?
The first love.
Yeah, he is.
It's the first time love.
And then we go into Romans chapter 8. This is the last verse I've got, 29. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed into the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. So it looks like in this aspect here is that Jesus is the firstborn, right? But we, as Christians, are to take the image of Jesus, who is the image of God the Father, in our lives. We are to live as Jesus lived. We are to think as Jesus thought. We are to walk as Jesus walked. And I think on this day here, of being Father's Day and stuff, I remember going to my very first Christian workshop. Hope's brother Paul took me. And it was about a football, it was a football player that was leading it and stuff. It was still good. It was really good. And it talked about our father's fathers. And he was saying in the aspect of who you are as a father, is that your son, your children really, are going to be about 75% of who you are, 25% of their own. Because they see you in your actions. They see you living and responding to their wife. They see you working. They see you, you know, playing with other, you know, interactions with other people, with other kids or whatever. And they live a life that's very similar to that. My grandchildren will be probably 25% of, or 50% of me. Because they see me in my son. And then they start acting like that. My great-grandchildren will be about 25% of who I am. And we look at that generational thing, but I forgot who was saying that earlier. God doesn't have grandchildren. He has children. So you're in that area where God can influence you the most. And I want to encourage you fathers to live as Jesus lived, so that your children will know God as you know him, or even better than that, they will know him more as we get going through this, right? Because we're looking about, you know, God foreknew that he predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. That you too follow the firstborn, Christ, be brothers and sisters in his kingdom. You can't follow someone, you can't even imitate them if you don't know who they are. You need to know them inside and out. Tom said, go in your closet. And he read that scripture and pray. And the Father will hear you. It's not about making a big scene. It's not about, you know, having the longest prayers or the best clothes when you do pray, or, you know, that attitude there. It's where your heart is. And that's what God is after. And if you can understand the very simple concepts is that, you know, God is spirit and we need to worship him in spirit and in truth. That if you know that Jesus Christ is the pure image of God the Father, then you've got it down. You know exactly what reference to go to know who God is. You don't need the get help books. You don't need the large bank account. You need a relationship with Jesus.
Amen.
And that's what gets you through. That's where you learn. That's where you grow to know who Jesus is. So the series that we're talking about is just about that, using that Colossians chapter 1, those verses in there, to help you to make sure that you understand the importance, not just knowing of God, but to know who Jesus is, who God is. Because when you do, then you can get to know the will of God and to be able to carry that out in a very, I don't know, it just comes natural way of doing it. And I think that's an awesome thing. People know when the Spirit of God is resting upon you. It just shines as Jesus was shining on that transformation hilltop. Know God. And if you don't, get your head in the Bible. You should anyhow. And get your spirit in tune with God through prayer. Two major things that are there. Right? And you'll find that all of a sudden you'll start to find some answers. You'll start to, revelations of truth will come out to you as you're reading Scripture. Why? Because you're trying to find out who God is. I tell people when they first start reading the Bible, it doesn't matter really where you start, but you can start reading. The big thing is that as you're reading Scripture, don't worry about the historical sort of stuff, but as you're going through Scripture, just look at it and to say, who is this Jesus guy? All the time as you're reading Scripture. Because you know what Scripture is all about? Jesus and God and His character. And you'll be able to see that. It was really, really important. So let's just end right there. And I just thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you for the simplicity of what we've got. But the depth of it goes so deep, that it's sometimes beyond what we can really handle. But you give accordingly as you know that we can handle what you want us to do. Just help us to be good stewards of that knowledge, of that relationship with you. That we just don't hold it and keep it to ourselves, but that we share it, that we live it, that we show it, and that we're not afraid to say that we know who Jesus is. We pray all of this through your Son, Jesus. Amen.